As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Do you buy Ye Olde Orchard Pub?
There's a lead pass. In on Bo McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it. Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
Here's a shot. They score! Duclair! 1-0. 23 seconds in, Canada jumps on top.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ballgame in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
It's Elliott. Elliott for the touchdown.
And now, here's your host, Elliott Price.
You shouldn't be surprised or even disappointed by the Canadiens' loss at home to Washington last night. The Caps might be a better team than even the healthiest of Habs lineups. But this one? Not fair, really. Amazing it was still a game when Washington finally scored three to put it away. Amazing still the Habs' road trip and the points that were compiled. The NHL, as is currently constituted, punishes those that cannot stay healthy. And let's face it, the Habs are not supposed to be playing with names like Farnham, Johnston, Sherbach, Terry, Andrighetto, Redmond, and McCarron, and certainly not all at the same time. You're supposed to have Galchenyuk, and Markov, and Gallagher, and Shaw, and Desharnais, and more. But they don't, and they won't, at least for one more night, and possibly two. Nobody is feeling sorry for the Jets and the loss of their high-scoring rookie, Patrick Laine, at least not the teams that are facing them that night. And so the guys that are left will try once again, maybe twice more, maybe more. In Winnipeg and Minnesota, while the wounded find their legs again and filter back in, while the Habs hope nobody takes their place on what has become a much too crowded group of top-flight regulars grounded for far too long. By my calculation, that would make Jackson Brown like 9 years older than me or so, right? He was 65 and 17. He was 17 and 65. I was 8. You were not.
I was not, exactly.
I'm Elliott Price. That's Grant Robinson. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. It's hot in here. I'm sweating. What's the deal with that? It's there's snow and wind and I don't know. How was your driving?
My drive-in wasn't bad. I was going to make a Raiders out of the playoffs joke. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got the runaround. The exit was closed. No, today something. It worked out well.
All right. This is why you don't wake up the next day and watch the replay, the highlights, right? You watch the highlights, you go, wow, I'm sure that was a really exciting game last night, but...
Horrible.
Got to watch the game.
Yeah.
You got to watch the game. You're lucky enough, you turned it on at the right time, then you saw something you're not going to see a lot of. Something you'll remember for a long time, and a championship won with 1 second left in the game.
Honestly, look, it'll be in the opening faceoff. There will be a question about it, but just pure entertainment value. Look, we watched the first half here with the Habs game, you know, and it wasn't a horrible half by any means, but it was not a it was not a record-breaking best game you ever seen. The second half, I got home right for it.
Yeah, but and when we left here, see, the thing is, normally we leave here and we end up missing half of the half of what's still to go, right? Because we pack up, we go, we get in the car, we listen to it, we get home, and there's so much left. But as Grant pointed out when we were leaving here yesterday, college football is like an hour.
Yeah, halftime, like, you could go run errands, yeah, do whatever. It's at least 40 That's minutes, crazy. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. That's without, well, because they do the band. I always ask myself this. I guess it's because at most of the games, you have the college marching band. You know what I mean? You have that. I don't know why, but NFL is 20 minutes. They're already playing again.
Yeah.
You know, you're making a quick break. College, go run some errands. You got time. It's perfect.
Right. So there's that. The NHL All-Stars today. I know you're very excited by the expanded field for the World Cup of Soccer, and we will have experts to espouse on this, and that would not be Grant or I. That's coming up during the show. Eric Engels and our basketball insider Dwight Walton have switched time spots today, so our hockey half hour will actually start after the basketball. All right, so Dwight Walton will be here at 8:35, and then Scott Morrison, followed by Eric Engels. All right, and then we'll ask Grant for his expertise on last night's NCAA football championship. That's tonight's show. This is Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price. Opening faceoff coming up.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
The All-Star rosters have been set. Now, we both agree, All-Star games, we don't really care what happens. They don't mean anything. But there are rosters there, and you see where the top talent is in most of these divisions, right? So let's just say they were playing actual hockey, okay? Not three-on-three, not whatever, but meaningful games, these four teams. If you don't have it pulled up, I can kind of go with it.
Go on.
When you look at it, which team would you pick? And before, if you didn't look at it, I know you'd go the homer pick and pick Chicago's?
Sure.
You'd be right.
Well, no, I'd be concerned because there's some players on that team that shouldn't be on the team this year.
Taves and Keith, eh? How quickly we turn. But there's guys on the Blackhawks that aren't on it that should be, right?
Panarin. Sure, Panarin should be on the
easily,
team.
He's the highest point
that's right.
Getter right now that's not in the
I
game.
I know, but that was good for Chicago, him not being on the team.
Would it have been a bonus?
Yeah.
Oh, they
lost. He lost 270.
Chicago's management was the one pushing Taves.
Would that surprise you?
No.
Chicago's in trouble as usual for the cap in the coming year because they've already given Panarin a raise for next year. I believe it cost Panarin somewhere in the neighborhood of $210,000. Not being.
I mean, he'll be making
tonight,
his money, but that's rough.
He will not eat.
Oh, what if he makes it as an injury replacement?
I have no idea. That's unacceptable.
He needs a rest.
You know what? If you're the Canadians, you would want Carey Price not to be on the team. You would want Shea Weber not to be on the team. Right? Carey Price should deny. It should turn them down.
All I heard today was, how is Max Pacioretty not on it? And
yeah, how is Max Pacioretty not on it?
You can't have three guys from the team.
That's what this is all about. It gives people a chance to complain a little more.
Look at these forwards, though, in that division. Tarasenko, Seguin, Kane, Laine, McKinnon, Taves. Pretty
solid. I like that team.
And then they have Keith Subban, Suter. That's a good team, right?
Well, no, because Subban can't play.
Well, again, I'm saying just look at the rosters. Because what I'm getting to is the Atlantic. Okay, let's Metropolitan.
Okay.
Crosby, Malkin, Ovechkin, Tavares, Hall, and Simmons.
Nice.
All stars there.
Yeah.
Defense, not so good. Falk, McDonough, and Seth Jones. But you got Bobrovsky and Holtby.
Yeah, but I understand. And you're going to head to the Northeast next. And my understanding is, all you need is Austin Matthews.
Well, so that is true.
It's a one-man game.
That is true, actually. But Matthews, Kucherov, and Marchand, then Trocheck, Okposo, and Nielsen? Come on. Like, look at all of the other ones. Pacific, McDavid, Pavelski, Goudreau, Carter. That is awful. I'm sorry. Like, Atlantic, I know you got Carey Price. The defense is good. I'll give that. Hedman, Carlson, Weber, but man, is there that much of a lack of talent in this division?
No, because there are players that are not there. You could have Stamkos. Max Pacioretty. You could have Stamkos. You could have Eichel. You could have, there are players Mitch that Marner. Aren't there. What's that?
Mitch Marner. Next year.
No,
next
why not?
Year.
I'm just saying. You know, this is the way that the All-Stars are chosen, and this is what we're stuck with, and I don't really care because I'm not going to watch, so whatever.
You don't. You didn't watch it, the 3-on-3 last year, quick tournament kind of? I found it more tolerable, okay. The short games.
See what I mean?
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
have to call it tolerable.
Well, I wouldn't say it's must watch.
It's not for you and I.
Yeah, I wouldn't cancel dinner plans
for
the hockey All-Star game.
It's for kids.
Agreed.
It's for hockey fans
introduce
18 and
you
under.
To the game.
For the most
yeah.
part.
I agree with that.
So give them their players.
So sticking with the All-Star game, but not about it all. Lou Lamoriello, I'm not sure if you saw this, but all week was saying Austin Matthews probably will and should be an All-Star.
Yeah.
But if it were up to him,
yeah.
he wouldn't be. He would not be given this honor. He would not go to the game
yeah.
Because he prefers his rookies to have to work for things, earn them the hard way, as this is the way he always did it in New Jersey. How do you see this? Because this is the second time Lou Lamoriello kind of goes there with Austin Matthews. Remember the contract yeah. problems? What happened in the end? Oh, he gave it to him.
Yeah, okay. So he could say whatever he wants. Bottom line is, Austin Matthews is going to be there because, A, he deserves to be there, and, B, people want to see him there. So yep. it doesn't matter what Lou says. That's Lou. I mean, Lou is old school with old school ideas.
People said
he's not enlightened
yeah,
like
Lou
you and
is
I.
Old school for the old school. Like, he's before the old school is what they're saying. I'll say this. Like, Lou, I get it. I like the moves he's made. I have no problem with it. This isn't New Jersey, and it's not 1990. Take it down a notch with the... Don't be running Austin Matthews out of town, is all I'm saying. Austin Matthews better, you know... Let's be honest. When's the last time Toronto had something to be excited about?
Let's be honest. Do you think he's running Austin Matthews out of town?
No, I hope not.
No, I'm asking you. You think that Austin Matthews is uncomfortable being a Toronto Maple Leaf?
No, but I'm saying when it comes to his next contract,
whatever.
Give him what he's worth.
He's not going anywhere, Grant. Take a breath.
That's what I like to hear. I needed it confirmed.
Well, yeah, because I'm in charge of confirmation of who's staying and who's going with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't like when he brings up the old New Jersey. Like, this isn't... You never had a rookie like Austin Matthews in New Jersey. He's not a rookie who's playing decent. It's not Nikita Sherbak coming in, scoring on his first shot. This is a guy who's leading the team in goals and points. Like, give him his due, for God's sakes.
Take a breath, will you?
What if the spotlight gets in his way? He's been in the spotlight since he was, like, 15.
Are we going to have to do this all the way until this guy retires?
No, till his first MVP in Stanley Cup.
No, because probably
Lou
will be dead by then, so we won't have to worry about
it. Well, that's... I won't say soon, but... He's getting a visit from the Grip Keeper eventually.
I would imagine that he and I are approximately the same age. So
yeah, but
relax.
You look much better. Lou has been through the ringer.
It
looks like he had a very stressful job.
Even if I go before Lou, I'll still look better.
Last night, Ovechkin, we left before this happened.
Right.
We had said it wasn't. Well, it hadn't. He finally ties Rocket Richard with 544 goals. Now, it was inevitable. It's pretty cool to see it happen on Bell Center Ice. But it sparked a lot of debate on Twitter, which I saw you almost get involved in before stepping out. I think you realized what you were getting into, decided against it. But
I knew when I first stepped in when I was stepping out.
But strong proponents on both sides. I understand why. Where do you stand
there
when it comes to this issue? Like, who's better? There's no way to answer it, is what you're saying, right?
No, I choose Bobby Hull.
I mean, that is C, but fair.
It is exactly as I tweeted last night. They are the greatest goal scorers of their time, as Bobby Hull was.
And you mentioned a stat yesterday that I've never heard about Rocket Richard, but when you told me what when he set it for 544 when he broke it,
right.
It was at 324.
He broke Nell Stewart's record at 324. He scored 544, and of course, what was it, 801? Gordie Howe, that Wayne Gretzky scored 802 to pass him. So,
but that's ahead of his time. To me, Rocket Richard was a player who was ahead of his time when you look at that. And Ovechkin is different because we've seen the great years of goal scoring and they're past. Ovechkin is kind of a throwback.
Right, he had a 65 season. But you know, I think that Stamkos had a 60.
Yeah, but again, consistently.
Okay, but
here's
the thing,
because I went, $450.
Because our old friend Ben Raby invited me onto Washington Radio today. He's on the station that broadcast the Capitals game, so I did a little homework on the Rocket. I could not believe 44-45, right? 1944-45 season, Rocket Richard. That was his 50-goal year, right? 50 goals, 50 games, first player ever to do it. He's not MVP. How's that possible? How's it possible?
Because he got his line mate all those assists by scoring the goals.
There was only 6 points different between him and Elmer Locke. Goals,
I think you posted was the difference.
He had 50. The next guy had 32.
Yeah, you're the MVP. I'm sorry. And look. Like I said, no one scores 50 goals anymore, or they do once or twice in their career. Ovechkin does it consistently. He's way better as a goal scorer, not a hockey player, as a goal scorer than everybody else right now. He's kind of in a league of his own. But like you said, Rocket Richard was too.
Sure.
What I'll say here is when I look at the stats.
The first two times Bobby Hull scored 50 goals, how many other players scored 50 goals during those seasons?
Nobody. I'm giving you credit here. When you look at the stats, how I compare this, because you can't compare Jordan and LeBron or whoever, because they played in different eras. You mentioned it, the sticks, the training, and the goalies now, for the players now, is different. But I compare them to their peers. Ovechkin is way ahead of his peers when it comes to that. And when you look at that, I think the only guy who comes close to him when it comes to, you know, taking the average goals per game is Bobby Hull. Bobby Hull, if you look at his numbers, are insane.
Now, according to the people who can break it down, according to all of the things that can tell you by era how much each is worth, will tell you that the only season rated higher than Ovechkin's 65-goal year was Brett Hull's 87. You have an 86, 87. His 87-goal year, in relation of how difficult it was compared to his 87 goals, is the only thing that compares to Ovechkin 65. I don't know how they get to these. No, Gretzky had 92.
Look at the rest of the, I agree.
But everyone scored. It was like, you know, there must have been like 50 goal scorers.
Yeah, now it's very rare. But again, like you said, very hard to compare. You cannot prove. There's no right answer to who it is. It depends how you value things. So, and that's the same for every sport. Other big story of last night, outside of that, college football national championship. One of the best games I've ever seen. Honestly, I'm not going to say the best. I think it's hard to say that. But it had everything you could ask for. And I'll say this. Can you remember a better championship game? And
but you know what? This is the third time in less than a year that we've been treated to this kind of final. The World Series,
amazing.
Very similar. Game 7 of the World Series, very similar. The end to the World Junior Hockey Championship, though we had to suffer through a shootout.
Great.
Would have been, you know, same deal. And now this, everything going down to the last drop. So it has been a tremendous year. I can't say that one was more exciting by its finish than the other, but we've been treated to some of the most exciting finishes in the big time sporting events that we watch in our lifetimes.
You mentioned the Cubs. That not only was it a great game, but it's the Cubs winning their first World Series. And how, like, you look at that, the drought, that added to it. I'll say this, watching yesterday's game reminded me so much of USC versus Texas, which was considered the best game. A lot of people said that.
Oh, I wanted the Raiders to draft Lineart.
Oh, well, good thing they... I mean, Lineart didn't work out.
No, because we ended up drafting a worse quarterback.
Fair. But again, you never know with college quarterbacks, you're kind of foreshadowing the next one, but it's tough there. I will say this, you watched him, Vince Young got that touchdown, fourth down, runs 8 yards, gets the touchdown. Deshaun Watson, the dive on the sideline, you know, to get the touchdown that didn't end up being the winning one. It reminded me so much of it. And then Jalen Hurts, the freshman quarterback, comes in, gets that big run. And I knew, I was cheering for Alabama. I tweeted out, I saw you write, I'll take Clemson. But I even said, like, I want Alabama to win this. And I don't care if they lose. I'd rather overtime. That was robbed from us. But on a last second, 1 second left touchdown, you can't. And did you see how poor the clock management was? They had 45 seconds at the 30. You let it run down to 19. It should have been overtime almost.
No, I think the clock management was perfect.
It ended up being perfect
with
the pass interference.
What better clock management do you want?
I'll say this, man. It was incredible, and it's what we've grown to expect. Villanova, North Carolina, in March Madness was amazing. It seems like there's something in the water lately. I can't remember the last garbage championship game I've watched. And I hope it'll be Dallas winning by 35 in the Super Bowl against who's the weakest team left in the AFC.
Enjoy it while you can. The Raiders will beat you next.
So last one here. All beating right. Alabama, no easy task. We talked about it yesterday. Do you think the way Watson performed in this game, if you're an NFL GM, you've seen him play a bunch, right? He's played 3 full years. You've seen him play in a national championship before. He played very well last year. How much does, in any sport, a player in a game like this playing that good, does it change how you value? How much value does one game have because it's the championship?
Let me put it this way. All right, I saw somebody play in the last week that won a Rose Bowl and a Cotton Bowl.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. No, you know, the Raiders quarterback did that as a sophomore and a junior. And I don't know if he can be an NFL quarterback. So it's apples and oranges.
I agree. One big game doesn't. Johnny Manziel did this against Alabama.
Exactly.
Was a stud.
Tim Tebow was a star in college. Come on.
I think it's tough with athletic quarterbacks to predict them in the NFL. I will say this about Deshaun Watson. Did you see the tweet he wrote out going to college? He wasn't even in college yet, was watching the national championship and said, you know, one day I'm going to be in that game and I'm going to go ham. Well, whatever. That's how he wrote it, but essentially said it. And then the next year wrote again, if I ever get into a national championship, I'm going to play great. Yeah. What'd he do? 800 yards in two games against the world's best defense in college football.
I tweeted that too a couple weeks ago. If I ever get into it, the college championship game.
And hey, it hasn't been proven wrong.
That's right.
It has yet to be proven wrong. And I don't think it will. So that prediction, we'll have to see. The odds wouldn't be great. The odds wouldn't be great, but I might take it. You never know.
I haven't gone to college
yet. Play the odds.
I got five
years of eligibility.
38 years redshirt.
Chris Winkie or Andy Dalton?
The opening faceoff with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson. Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hi, time for voices every night. People who created the news in the last 24 hours. Montreal Canadiens, losers last night to the Washington Capitals. There they were in a 1-1 tie and coming home from a road trip. Not so good.
I don't know why, but lots of time, the first game, you're coming back after a long road trip. It's a demanding game. Like I said, you know, the Capitals, first of all, they play a really solid game. And on our side, we were not sharp. Pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Has nothing to do with you coming home from a road trip. By the way, the numbers have been crunched, and there is no proof that you play poorly on the first game back after a long road trip. You just played poorly. Here's Max Pacioretty.
I think everyone's played a lot of hockey. It was strange coming back home. You know, the fans deserve better after a long road trip. They haven't seen us in a while. And, you know, we wish we could put on a better show at home. But we definitely didn't have it tonight. And we just got to, you know, be ready for the next game.
All right. On the other side of things, of course, it was Alex Ovechkin's night. Hey, look, you're going to catch the Rocket. Very nice to do it in the Rockets. Well, it's not exactly his building. The Forum was his building. It's his town.
Yeah, it's close. It's close.
But they left the ghosts there. But he did score 544 last night and moved to within a point of 1,000 and joined our Kyle Bukauskas after the game.
Six times you have won the Rock Richard Trophy over the course of your career. What does it mean to you now to be here in Montreal and to tie the man who they named that trophy after?
Yeah, it was actually it's a pretty historic moment. You know, it's nice to be in this company, so I'm really glad.
Now just 1 point away from 1,000 for your career, shaping up to be a pretty nice week for yourself here.
Oh yeah, I'm going to try to do it at the home stand. Hope my wife, my parents, my brother, and all fans are going to see this.
All right. By the way, did you see the list in front of him?
He's gaining seven at least spots this year. He'll be low 20s by the end of this season.
He's 29th and 28th and 27th will occur, you would think, before February. So he's marching in on some very impressive company. Speaking of impressive company, what a victory last night for Clemson as they win the national championship. Here's their quarterback.
You know, hopefully being able to play, you know, sometime in the National Football League. And, you know, whoever picks me up, you know, I just kind of, I'm a bloom where I'm planted. But whoever picks me up is going to get a champion, not just on the field, but off the field. And just a champion in the heart. We're going to make people around them better and just going to go to work. And regardless of my situation or where I go, you know, I'm going to play my role and do the best I can do.
So he's ready for the National Football League, and you think of him as what? Give me a comparable, National Football League.
Okay, Vince Young reminded me of him, but I think he'll be better in the pros. He can throw. He threw for 800 passing yards against Alabama. You want to talk about, everybody says college defenses aren't there. How many guys on this defense are going to be in the NFL? Probably half of them. So it's the best test you're going to get. I'm impressed. I like the guy. He's a bigger, stronger RG3. Like he doesn't just use his feet. He can throw.
Nick Saban's been in the NFL. Not so much. But he does very well in college football. Last night, his team ended up 1 second short.
You know, we have a team of winners. They've represented themselves that way all year long, and I'm proud of their accomplishments. And for our seniors, you know, they've won 3 SEC championships in a row, been to 3 straight playoff games, won a national championship, and tough way for the team to lose. But we had our opportunities to stop them and didn't do it. And they made some great plays down the stretch and some great catches, and we didn't make the plays we need to make. Deshaun Watson is an outstanding player and played, you know, fantastic, and they're a good team in 2 minutes, and, you know, we needed to make a play. You know, getting a penalty in that situation didn't help either.
No, it did not. Nick Saban from the Crimson Tide, and it's Clemson that wins the national championship. All right, it's been announced that the World Cup will be expanded. That's good news for Canada, I think, because it at least gives us a little bit of opportunity to knock on the door and kind of weasel our get our way into this tournament. Grant and I have decided to hand things over to a couple of people who will know a little bit more than we do on the subject. So, on the World Cup, expanding to 48 teams, from Sportsnet, James Sharman and Craig Forrest.
Well, the World Cup is about to get really, really bloated in 2026. 48 teams, make that 16 groups of three, top two advance to a 32-team knockout phase. We'll debate this for several years, Craig. Mm. For you right now, initially, is it a good idea?
It depends on who you talk to or what country you come from. I'd say one of the top nations in the world, the Spanish, the French, the Germans, the Brazilians, they would probably say, no, we don't like this. From a smaller nation's point of view, the likes of Canada, St. Lucia, these types of countries, I think it's a great idea. Smaller countries will have a lot of incentive and there'll be a lot of interest in their qualifying because of the potential and the good opportunity is to make the World Cup.
But the cynics will say that we're just rewarding mediocrity here. Mm-hmm. We saw Euro expand this past summer and it wasn't a great tournament. Several teams that probably shouldn't have been there. We're going to see that and then some at World Cup. Does the quality suffer?
Absolutely. Yeah, from the standpoint of the quality of the tournament, at 32 teams is okay. Much bigger than that, I think you see a drop in quality. There'll be a number of players playing for countries, whoever qualify, that are nowhere near the top of the game. The World Cup used to be the pinnacle. It no longer will be that case. You look at guys who will be playing non-league that will be qualifying for the World Cup. So it truly is a tournament now where anybody can qualify at any level, whereas before it was the pinnacle.
So overall, 9 years out, you're not a big fan of this?
Not a big fan, but it would be nice to see Canada there one day.
Still, $1 billion is the reason why FIFA love this. And Gianni Infantino, the new president, has a lot more votes for elections and stuff.
There you go. Besides bringing in a couple of people that know what they're talking about, know more, a little more about soccer than we do, it's always nice just to listen to James' accent.
I told you, instant credibility when it comes to soccer. You hear the accent, you know. He calls it football, not soccer. So that's where you know.
That's why we bring in instant credibility, my friends, and we will continue along that line. We have instant credibility with a former Olympian, as usual, on Tuesday nights, Dwight Walton talking basketball, only he's a half hour earlier this time, switching places with Eric Engels, Dwight Walton talking hoops after Grant's update. That's next. This is Sportsnet Tonight on CFMB 1280 AM Montreal.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Normally, our hockey half hour begins now. Eric Engels has been pushed to the 9 o'clock hour, and so we will start with Scott Morrison on our hockey half hour coming up at 8:50. So Scott Morrison and then Eric Engels at 8:50. We'll talk college football coming up in the next hour and the championship game. We'll also get you up to date on the Montreal Canadiens. We'll hear from a whole bunch of folks, including Coach Therrien. But now it's time to talk basketball with Dwight Walton, former Canadian Olympian and our insider. How's it going, big man?
What's good, Elliot? How you doing this evening?
I'm okay. You know why I'm okay?
No.
Because I know where my teammate is. Grant Robinson is sitting right across from me. So I don't have to, like, call his mom, who, by the way, is in studio with him. I don't have to call his girlfriend. Where's Grant? The show has started. He's not here. So what's the deal with Derrick Rose there, big man? You know, the Knicks are playing last night, and nobody knows where he is.
And this is a major issue for me because, listen, you and I have jobs, Elliot, and there's no way that we can just not decide to show up.
No.
And listen, God forbid, if there was a death in the family, whether it was his mom, his uncle, his sister, his father, whatever the case was, you have to have the professional courtesy, as I tweeted earlier today, to at least let your employer know that you're not going to be coming in. Now, your boss may not be happy with the quote-unquote excuse that you come up with, but at least you told your boss that you weren't coming in today. And there's been plenty of days during my professional basketball career or during my 9-to-5 career where I got up in the morning and I didn't feel like going to the weight room, getting up 500 shots, or in my later life, getting up to go to work in the morning. But once I get up in the morning, I realize or recognize my professional obligation to go into work because I signed a contract to be an employee for a specific company. And this is not the regular world. This is the professional sports where Derrick Rose is making upwards of $15 million a year. You just cannot go to a shoot around in the morning at Madison Square Garden, then for whatever reason, decide in mid-afternoon that, you know what, I'm going to get on a private jet and fly to Chicago to be with my mom and my family. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. At the very least, let your employer know, because as you know, in this social media day and age, social media ran rampant with just a whole bunch of scary scenarios in regards to Derrick Rose. I was watching the game last night, and Wally Szczerbiak, time and time again, one of the Knick analysts, sometimes during their broadcast, but for the most part at halftime and in their post-game show, he expressed his concern the entire post-game last night. And you can see the legit worry on his face. And for him to see the phone calls coming from New York Knick management and just deciding like it was like he's trying to get mad at his girlfriend or wife or something by not answering the phone, that was very childish, very immature, and very unprofessional on the part of Derrick Rose. I'm very happy today that he's okay, but he acted childish last night by not even responding or letting his employer know at the very least where he was last night. It was hard on everybody concerned. Fans, the New York Knicks, the broadcast on both sides. It was a weird night. I'm happy he's okay, but Derrick Rose needs to learn from this and just to be a professional. Just act mature, responsible, and professional.
Well, and just before I move on from that, we kind of compared it to if we didn't go in for a day off work. I just did the math. He gets paid $260,000 per game. I think that's a little more significant as well. Bigger news here when it comes to actual good news for a team. Kyle Korver has been acquired by the Cleveland Cavaliers. not the same caliber as the Warriors getting Durant in the offseason. Obviously, that's a bigger improvement, but he is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. How do you feel about this move, and does it affect the balance of power?
Well, Grant, you know, going into the season, even with Durant going, signing with the Golden State Warriors, I still felt that, and to use a boxer's analogy here, you had to knock out the champ. And the Cavaliers were still going to be the favorite, as far as I was concerned. Picking up Kyle Korver 2 days ago is a major step forward for them, obviously. You're getting a player who is a high-percentage three-point shooter. There were statistics floating around out there that he, in terms of being a standstill shooter, he was shooting around the 45 to 48% range. But it's funny, all I've seen the last couple of days is Kyle Korver is known as a player that loves to move without the basketball. He's in tremendous amount of shape. If you ever watch Korver play throughout his career, he is always in constant movement. He is never standing around. And there seems to be a thought out there that Kyle Korver, all he has to do now is stand in a spot. And if you listen to what Coach Teron Lu has been saying, they're bringing in Kyle Korver so he can continue that movement. Because if you've watched the Cavaliers enough, they tend to be stagnant with the ball. They tend to let the talents of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving dictate how the rest of the guys play. And by bringing Kyle Korver in, they want more movement away from the basketball to keep defenses off balance. And with the Cavaliers right now in the top three already in the NBA in three-point shooting, of course Kyle Korver is a major acquisition. And as you astutely said, it is not of the Kevin Durant type of signing, but in terms of what the Cleveland Cavaliers want to accomplish, they brought in a marksman who is definitely going to help the Cavaliers once he gets acclimatized and used to playing with what I feel for sure is the best team that Kyle Korver's ever played for. And the reality is, if you've watched the two favorites who I believe are going to be in the finals, the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, they can definitely score the basketball. And I think, so if you've watched the Warriors enough, the Warriors, they're not too concerned about stopping you. They want to outscore you. And I think the Cavaliers recognize that, and they want to have as many bullets in their arsenal when it comes to three-point shooting if it comes down to a seven-game series against the Golden State Warriors. So this is a major, major signing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And by my understanding from my Cavs insider, they're not done. They're looking for a backup point guard and possibly some more size on the interior.
Yeah, they better listen to LeBron. He's telling them, hey, here's what we need. You better go get it. All right. When do we start getting concerned about the Toronto Raptors? I mean, you know, over the last, since the end of December, they've lost to Golden State and Phoenix and San Antonio and Chicago and Houston. But tonight they're at home, they're facing Boston, and they're down at the half. Is this the night when concern really kicks up for them?
And it's been a bad half for them, Elliot. They shot poorly. They've turned the ball over. They're being dominated in the paint by a team that's not known for paint scores, although they did sign Al Horford during the offseason. This is the team that the Raptors have to be concerned with. Of course, the entire Eastern Conference has to be concerned with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But this Boston team the game we're seeing tonight is going to be a second round playoff matchup. I think these two teams are going to finish second and third in the Eastern Conference. It's just a matter of who finishes second and who finishes third. Of course, Toronto wants to be in that two slot so they can have game seven at home if it does go the distance. But, Elliot, you and I have discussed this ad nauseum about the Raptors. They've got issues. Their roster is flawed. They need a legit power forward. They need somebody else who can score off the bench. And I believe they need to be more balanced offensively. And that means getting some paint touches, some paint scores from Jonas Valanciunas. And I've discussed this many times as well. If you feel that Jonas Valanciunas cannot play for you against the teams that you feel you have to beat down the stretch of games, maybe you should look into maybe acquiring somebody that could help you finish games and be able to guard the so-called smaller lineups of Cleveland, of San Antonio, of Golden State, of Houston. These are the teams that the Raptors are competing with. And if you feel that Valanciunas cannot help you down the gut of games, make a decision. The ball is in your court, GM Masai Ujiri. I do understand that you're trying to keep your assets and your young talent for the future, but the time is now. I think that the window is open for an opportunity. It doesn't mean that they're going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in a seven-game series, but at least give your fans and your team the impression that you're going out there trying to improve the roster so you can give yourself a competitive chance against Cleveland, Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, the Clippers. Those are the teams that you're dealing with, and if you want to be spoken about in the upper echelon of the NBA, the roster for the Raptors has to be improved. I cannot stress that enough. I know Masai Ujiri knows it, but the reality is he has to try to go out and get those players. And to get players, you got to give up some players. And I think that's the major decision that Ujiri has to make at this point.
So sticking with that, I was going to ask you this anyway. Who is somebody out there? I'm not saying that you've heard is you know, coming, but who's somebody out there that you'd like to see them target, or a type of player you want to see the Raptors acquire?
Paul Millsap. He's available. I know that the Hawks have put out a press release saying that he is no longer an issue in terms of, a trade chip. But most of the time, from my experience, when teams say that, there's something lurking. Again, as I said earlier, the Raptors are going to have to part with something if they want to acquire a player like Paul Millsap. He is 32 years of age. He is getting long on the tooth. He is probably going to opt out of his contract. So you are taking a chance. If you trade for Paul Millsap, it's probably going to be as a rental player, because I'm not sure if he's going to want to re-sign with the Raptors this summer when he opts out of his contract and becomes a free agent. So that's the issue that you have to deal with in regards of trying to acquire a player like Paul Millsap. But I think he'd be the perfect fit for the Raptors. He's the power forward that they're looking for. He is a definite upgrade to Patrick Patterson and Lucas Nogueira. Pascal Siakam. That's just the reality. It's professional sports. You're trying to put the best roster, your best foot forward, if you want to compete for a championship. The Cavs are favorites, and they're out there making moves. There's no reason the Toronto Raptors can't go after a player like Paul Millsap, but you got to give to get. And that's the quandary, I believe, that Ujiri's in right now.
Man, big man, we're getting old, you know. He was just a baby. He was just with Utah. He was just trying to push out Carlos Boozer. That was like yesterday.
It's crazy. And he's 32 years old now. It's amazing, ain't it? But that's how the NBA is. Look, LeBron James is in his 14th season. That's crazy when you think about it as well. But with the blink of an eye, as all of us athletes talk about, before you know it, your career is over. So that's why you have to maximize every opportunity, because this life is going to go away very quickly, and you get old sometimes overnight. And this is just an opportunity for all these teams that are trying to vie for a championship. You got to take advantage of the opportunity now. You can't wait for your window to start closing in 2 to 3 years. Take advantage of the opportunity now. And that's what I'm preaching for the Raptors and anybody who wants to win a championship in the NBA.
All right, big man. Did you happen to read an article on the Prince basketball blouses from David Chappelle, which apparently was all true? The Prince actually played on a high school championship.
Yes.
I mean, with four beasts.
Mm-hmm. And had a pretty good jump shot, too.
That's what I hear. He could move, he could shoot, he could play. Story ultra.
Game blouses.
Yeah, game blouses, that's it.
That was a great skit.
There you go.
Thanks, Dwight.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good night.
Dwight Walton, ladies and gentlemen, always talks basketball with us on Tuesday nights, usually in the 9 o'clock hour. Eric Engels has been moved there tonight, so our basketball comes first tonight. The hockey half hour will begin momentarily. Scott Morrison from Sportsnet. Man, there's an awful lot to talk about. He's in Toronto. We'll find out what he has to say about Lou Lamoriello and how he feels about Austin Matthews and the All-Star Game and all that stuff. Sportsnet tonight, I'm Elliot Price. Price, it's a tough name to say. Lord knows. I've only said it four or five times. And Grant Robinson, this is Sportsnet Tonight, CFMB, 1280 AM, Montreal.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
What a great turnout. Thank you all for being here, and welcome to
Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Shut up, listen, and learn.
Every weeknight at 8 p.m.
I proclaim this the summer of...
Elliot.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Scott Morrison is coming up. I know Grant has a lot of questions, you know. I mean, Toronto Maple Leafs and got themselves a new goaltender. Are you excited?
So that is not question worthy. The backup, you know why? Because I actually like the starter for once. This is new for me. The starter I'm happy with.
Really? Are you concerned about the amount of games that this
guy's
playing?
Well, that's why I like that they got somebody that I know they'll give a start to. But again, no problem. You get me in a playoff position, and I'll be happy. I'm not hard to please.
The biggest question was the official pronunciation of the new goaltender. I think that was part of today's conversation.
McElhinney. That's what I call him. I don't do the Hinny.
You don't do the Hinny? I don't think he's a Hinny. I think he's an Henny.
McElhinney.
I think it's a McElhinney.
Just say it quick enough and you're good.
McElhinney.
Yeah. Then you got it right. That's the trick.
You got to say it fast? Is that it?
That's my trick.
Yeah. Austin Matthews. That one you don't have to say really quick. As promised, Scott Morrison, it's been a couple of weeks. Happy New Year. We're a little late on
Likewise.
That.
All the best.
Yeah. Grant is obviously, as you know, a Leaf fan. So we've, you know, Austin Matthews and Lou Lamoriello. And is this, I mean, Lou and Austin should have to work for whatever it is. He's young in the All-Star game. And obviously fans want to see Austin Matthews. Is this just Lou being older than old school, or what's going on here?
Well, Lou's always been a guy that's, you know, preached team, and especially with the younger players that, he doesn't like them to get ahead of the curve in terms of exposure and you know, kind of being identified as the guy and having to have the certain degrees of pressure on it. But I think there's a solid thinking in the Leafs front office that this is a special player. He's earned the great honor and deserves to be part of the All-Star festivities, and they can control other appearances and exposures within the organization, but you know, the league has made it clear they've got some great stars from over the years attending, and they've got the next wave, the new generation that's lighting it up this year as part of it as well. So you know, I think Lou's okay with everything.
When you look at this team, look, last week they had a playoff spot. Now it's gone. Boston has four games in hand. They're 3 points up. So again, I mean, the Leafs are kind of knocking on the door of the playoffs for once. Obviously, they went on a nice run. Do you think it's still too early for them to make the playoffs this season, or can you see that being a realistic expectation at this point?
I could see them being in the hunt. You know, again, especially with when you've got younger players, how they hold up over the, you know, the rigors of a long season, especially with the schedules being what they've been this year. I mean, that remains to be seen how much they can hang in there. And then when the pressure amps up too, if you are part of a race, how they deal with that collectively. I mean, the biggest problem that they've had as a group has been protecting leads, and you know, they've kind of said the good news is we're getting them. The bad news is we're not protecting them. And that's something you can figure out as time goes on. So I could see them hanging in the race, and I don't think that's a bad thing for, you know, where they are in terms of their quote-unquote rebuild and the development of the team, is that to expose players to that type of pressure and those types of situation is just going to be part of the maturing process. The whole key with all of it is, and Lou talked about it today, is not losing sight of where you really are in the big picture, and don't try to accelerate the process by sacrificing some future for a quick fix or a piece that's just going to put you off the top to get there. let this group go for it. And if they do get there, then that's a huge accomplishment. And it'll be another great learning curve and experience if they should get into the first round. But don't be going out looking to add pieces that aren't going to be part of that picture when everybody's really ready to be a potential contending or a playoff team. So don't lose sight of where you are, and I don't think this management group will.
With Scott Morrison, executive producer of hockey at Sportsnet and an insider on Hockey Central, and here on Sportsnet Tonight in Montreal with Elliot Price. Scott, Alexander Ovechkin ties the Rocket. Where else in Montreal? Now sits at 999 goals, so obviously, like you can compare the eras, they have the same amount of goals. They were the best goal scorers of their times. What do you make of trying to make a comparison between these two guys?
Well, I mean, it's very difficult except to say a great sense of occasion on Ovi's part, and he's going to sit on the horizon. So that's a pretty good back-to-back. If you're going to circle a spot on the calendar or on the schedule to want to get things done, I would just say that you've got two players who have been, you know, the dominant goal scorers of their era and tremendous goal scorers, and both putting up 50s when not necessarily expected or not an easy thing to do. When you think of, you know, what the Rocket doing 50 and 50 so many years ago, and then, you know, obviously Ovi continuing to put up big numbers at a time when, you know, 50's become a magic number again. It's not the 70s and the 80s, or not the 80s, really, rather. So, just special players. And, you know, I think you have to just allow them to remain in their time. And there's a reason why the NHL didn't put numbers beside their top 100, because it is so impossible to compare eras. But you can certainly acknowledge players and say, very good at their time and in their place and time in history. And that's where Ovi is. It's just one of the great goal scorers of all time.
All right, on Sportsnet.ca, you can catch Scott Morrison reflecting on 100 years of Maple Leafs history. Closer look at Rick Vive, and he was the first Leaf to score 50. And I ask you, was that the best trade in Leafs history?
Well, it's right up there as a steal. And, you know, Bill Dorlego was a heck of a player, too. Yep. And together, he and Rick were a dynamic group. I think the memory of what they did is kind of overshadowed and forgotten because of just how miserable a time it was in franchise history. But they traded Tiger Williams and Jerry Butler to Vancouver for these two young players, the Canucks making a horrendous mistake and giving up on their youth. And at the time, interestingly enough, it wasn't a popular trade because Tiger was so popular. You know, it was part of that sort of the Sittler, Lanny McDonald, you know, the top line, the most popular players. Punch Imlek was tearing that group apart. And, you know, a couple seasons after Vive arrived, the Sittler was gone as well. So it wasn't well received at the time, but it sure became a popular and successful deal over time. And, yeah, Vive the first to hit 50, and he did it three straight seasons. And only Gretzky and Mike Bossy had more goals over those three seasons than Vive. So I think sometimes, and I said in the piece, I think sometimes he's a little bit underappreciated in terms of what he was able to accomplish and what he meant in the history of that franchise. And again, because it was just such turmoil and craziness with the, you know, the Ballard ownership and all the losing and the rebuild after rebuild, that I think it kind of got smudged a little bit in the history books, but a pretty phenomenal accomplishment.
All right, great talking with you. And of course, to commemorate the consecutive 50 goal seasons, Vancouver celebrated by trading Cam Neely to Boston for next to nothing.
Just to make sure that everybody knew the blueprint was intact.
Great talking with you, Scott. Talk next week.
See you guys. Take care.
All right. How about that, eh? Trade a 50-goal scorer, three-time 50-goal scorer to Toronto, and then trade a Hall of Famer to Vancouver, and then to Boston, and in both cases didn't get a whole lot back in return. Those are bad trades.
Those are very bad trades. Yeah. They're always fun to look back at, the bad trades.
Chicago made the worst, though. Worst in hockey history.
You've told me this before. Right. Which one is it again?
They traded Phil Esposito.
Oh, yes.
Ken Hodge and Rick Stanfield for Pitt Martin and some seeds, they hope.
Yeah, those didn't work out.
Bring back the golden goose. But anyway, I digress. Hey, look, I waited my 50 years. I won my three cups. I'm good for life.
You've had some good moves since then.
Oh, yeah. Just after 9 o'clock, this is Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price. It's Grant Robinson, Eric Engels on the Habs and the Rocket and all these injuries and Canadians going. I thought this was, they were home, right? Long road trip. Now they're gone again. Who put this together? Eric Engels. After Grant's update, Sportsnet Tonight on CFMB 1280 AM.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen, but chances are they already know. They play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food, great golf, great price, great members. Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
As Backstrom's there to the line for Ovechkin, he'll hold, wait, shoots, kicked up by Price, rebound, they score! Nicholas Backstrom banks it home, and the Capitals are on the board first. Pacioretty to the front of the net for Radulov, tipped on goal, and Braden Holtby up with a stop. Petrie on the puck with a long feed ahead for Arturi Lehkonen. Lehkonen checks out, hands it off, Byron to the net, center, great save made by Holtby, off of the Canucks. Pacioretty to front of great save made by Holtby. Down for Paul Byron, he'll circle with it. Byron trying to get it to net. Pekanic put it off the post. Rebound in front of scramble. It's free. Pekanic scores. And after a couple of goalposts, the Canadians finally get one in and they tied it at one. Ovechkin looks forward at center, tipped it by Pacioretty. Kuznetsov follows up on it. What a move! Scores. Evgeny Kuznetsov with an incredible play, and he puts the Capitals back out front. Kuznetsov tips it in the Canadians' head. Price will hand it off for Petrie, but Kuznetsov breaks it up. Throwing in front, scores! Brett Connolly on the turnover, snaps it home, and the Capitals make it a 3-1 game. Ovechkin scores! Alexander Ovechkin! Maurice Rocket Richard with his 540.
as we've heard Michel Therrien so many times, ding, ding, ding. 1-1 to 4-1. We bring in our Habs insider. It's Eric Engels. Hey, Double E, how are you?
I'm good. Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. It's good to be me. I had no idea that's what was coming. By the way, you know what? And I've probably said this before, but I want to say it again, that I'm very proud of you. I saw you at the beginning, and you do a terrific job in everything that you do, and they keep you very busy. But, you know, not only on this show, I've heard you on in Toronto on Sportsnet and the writing and the television. Really good, Eric. Really good.
Thanks. I'm humbled to hear from somebody like you, Elliot, and I just try to do the best job possible. It's not easy in this market, and I have a lot of fun doing it, and that's the key.
Well, I don't know. People don't know that you actually had to convince them that there should be someone doing what you do here, and then you had to show them that they made the right decision, and you did that. So I'll tell them that, and you won't have to, and now we can move on. All right. I led the show off by saying, you know what, Canadian fans, at the end of last night's game, I didn't say that exactly, but at the end of last night's game, after Washington had scored 3 and the Canadians lost 4-1, really, Canadians fans should have gotten up and given their players a standing ovation. Because let's face facts, in what they did on the road with the players they're putting out there, come on, you're not supposed to be competing in the National Hockey League with Farnham and Johnston and Sherbeck and Terry and Andrew Ghetto and Redmond and McCarron. You're just not all at the same time. And so just hanging in, being where they are with what they're putting out there is remarkable.
Yeah, it kind of makes that whole false narrative about Carey Price's game dipping that much more hilarious. You know, like, if he plays any better, I mean, I don't know if the Canadians would have lost any games on that 7-game road trip. The fact they came back 4-1-2 was a big credit to him keeping in those games and enabling them to get to overtime in 5 straight games and collect whatever points they did. And I think, you know, he has set the standard so impossibly high that it's a good thing that we're talking about Carey Price at 29 years old now. You know, who can easily ignore what's said about him in this marketplace, because anybody who's concerned about this right now really has a lot of time on their hands. Like, this guy is every bit as good as he's been over the last couple of years. He's right where you want him to be. And when the games get more important as we move along here and the team returns to health, we're all going to laugh about what's being said right now.
All right, I want you to know, and I caught it was very short there, but you did a mini Milos. You know, your voice kind of cracked there for a second. And
I lost it for a second. I got emotional. I'm sitting in the forum staring at the statue of the Rocket.
No
about to go
way.
See a movie with some friends. And, yeah, got to me.
All right. So you know what? There was a lot of conversation, a lot of stuff going around last night. Obviously, a special moment. You're Alex Ovechkin. This is what you want to do, right? You want to score 544 at the Bell Center to tie the Rocket, and you want to leave yourself at 999 because you got a 3-game homestand coming up.
Unbelievable. And like to have that kind of poetic moment at the Bell Center and leave that 999th point right where it is, to come back and the first opportunity to crack 1,000 will be against the man he's been compared to his entire career in Sidney Crosby and the Capitals and the rivalry they have with the Penguins. So you can be guaranteed Ovechkin ends up scoring tomorrow night in that game, whether it's a goal or it's a puck that flies off his posterior or, you know, like, just a secondary assist, whatever it may be, Verizon Center will go absolutely bonkers. And they deserve to have that moment for a guy that they have supported every single day throughout all the criticism that's been levied at him for not being the kind of complete player that Crosby is. I wish we could just celebrate a player like Ovechkin for what he is. And what he is truly special. He's special every time he jumps on the ice. He's special with his enthusiasm. I wrote all about this last night. It just seems as though we are so fortunate to be able to watch this guy when you get the chance to see him live. It is such a special event. So to see him do what he did last night and almost in a nondescript way, because, you know, aside from the fact that by the end of the night he had tied the Rocket and he had 3 points next to his name, you didn't notice him as much as you normally do in a game where he's playing. So he just got to tip your hat. This guy is an exceptional talent. he deserves all the accolades and the nice things that people are saying about him, because over time we certainly heard the critics come out, and not all of it, in fact, a lot of it has been unjustified.
Another guy turning heads with his hot play, Alex Radulov, just continues to impress. He's been by far the most consistent player on this team. It seems every night he's noticeable, he contributes. Do you have any idea what kind of numbers the Habs would be looking at to re-sign this guy? We know they're allowed to talk now. There hasn't been many rumors, which I think is a good sign. Usually that's
okay, but
pressure tactics.
What? Before Eric answers on the possible numbers, there's something else to consider here, and that's how the Canadians will finagle and move around the fact that there's expansion coming up and having one more guy signed. You can have some sort of a nudge-nudge, wink-wink deal, knowing that this guy probably wants to remain a Hab and not necessarily sign him right now. Okay, Eric, go.
Yeah, Elliot, I'm 100% with you. And you know, whether people want to believe it or not, those kinds of deals are going to be discussed between now and June 23rd, once the expansion draft comes and goes. And you know, I look at San Jose and Joe Thornton, I would think they'd have the incentive to do the very same thing. You can find other good examples across the league. Outside of that whole equation, and say we're to assume that the Canadians will play it absolutely by the book, and if they could sign him right now, they would, or if they had to wait, they would wait. Like, what is the major incentive to rush into this on either side? You know, if you're Alex Radulov, you want to prove yourself come playoff time and the games become more important. You want to prove yourself indispensable to the Canadians. You want to prove yourself as a hot commodity on the open market. He's certainly already trending in that direction. And if you're the Canadians, I mean, pay him what he's worth for when he provides what he's truly worth. And it used to be that you got paid on playoff performance, and that, you know, let's face it, you know, the Canadians had a lot of players to get them through the regular season. They need players to get them through the playoffs, and they're hoping that Alex Radulov is going to be that guy. And there are so many signs that point to the answer being yes, but what is the rush? Why not wait and see how that evolves? As far as numbers are concerned, you know, purely speculation at this point. You could assume that it's going to start at the same salary he's making right now and possibly be a little bit higher than that, and probably over a term that I would expect at 31 years old could be anywhere between 2 and 5 years. And I know that's broad and everything, but I got to think, you know, smart money would be on him signing 2 to 3 years, because I don't see another GM getting in there and making a kind of a silly call on a long-term signing, no matter how good he's been. But then I look at, you know, what Andrew Ladd signed with the Islanders for, you know, like, it's pretty unpredictable. So I really believe at the end of the day, Alex Radulov is going to be a Montreal Canadian moving forward. It will probably be for the next 2 to 3 years, and it'll probably be somewhere between $5.75 million and $6.75 million a season. And I think, you know, if everything works out the way you expect it to, that's going to be a great deal for both parties. And those are the best kinds of deals, you know, and that's what we've seen with both parties this season so far. And hopefully for the Canadians, for Alex Radulov, they can continue that marriage.
With Eric Engels, writer, TV, radio reporter for Rogers Sportsnet, and once a week on our show. I really don't see him going anywhere else. I liken him to his situation to the one that Chicago had with Panarin. Panarin is a Blackhawk because he wanted to be a Blackhawk. And I believe that the same thing here in Montreal. He wants to be a Montreal Canadian. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime.
You have to factor in that big part of the reason why Alex Radulov has been successful as he's been in his return to the NHL is not an easy thing to do, because I really believe he thrives on that external pressure. I really believe that he thrives on being in a marketplace where anything less than the kind of effort he's showing right now would put him in a category that would not have him be one of the most beloved Canadians. And I think he loves the attention, and good for him. You know, like, there are players that wilt under that kind of pressure. For him to be one that rises to that occasion, that only lends to what I was saying in the last answer there, where I'm saying, you know, he's got to prove it in the playoffs, but there's so much evidence that he will. And this is just such a good match. That's another part of the reason why I think there's just no rush here. I think this is one of those guys where if you did have a deal in principle, I think it would be good enough for both parties without putting it on paper that they could trust each other and that they'd end up where they expect to be. So I think, you know, smart money is on this whole thing happening, but happening towards the last hour and not in any kind of contentious way like people might assume when we get down to those days.
We started off the segment talking about how well the Habs are playing right now, despite all those injuries. And there's a lot of young players on this roster right now filling in for those players. Is there any of those fill-ins that you see playing well enough right now to have earned a spot even when the team is fully healthy? Or is nobody really impressing that much?
No, I think a lot of guys have been very impressive. I think Ryan Johnson right now is showing that he's a player that can be dependable, reliable in that sixth spot, offer a burst of speed from the back end, handles himself quite well. You know, there's one part of his game that was exposed against Phil Kessel on the rush. It's like once a player who's strong gets behind him on the rush, he's not going to be able to muscle them into the boards. Shea Weber might have been beaten on the foot speed of Phil Kessel on that particular play, but he would have been able to push Kessel outside enough for him not to end up finishing a beautiful backhand past Carey Price in that game against Pittsburgh. So that's one guy, as far as I'm concerned, that's shown that he can play at this level that nobody would have assumed that he can based on what they saw from him last year or in training camp or as one of the defensemen that's way further down the depth chart here. Another guy, Mike McCarron. You know, like there's evidence right now that he is going to be a solid NHL player for years to come. Is he all the way there? No. I spoke to Martin LaPointe, who's in charge of development and has been done so much with Mike McCarron as a personal project to bring him to this level already. And he feels that the biggest difference between him being a regular, steady NHL player right now is just the level of strength that he has. And that's just a question of his age and not growing into that body. He's still a kid in a man's body. And as soon as that click happens, as soon as he gets that man strength, that intangible man strength that seems to happen somewhere between 22 and 24, it's a different ball game. As soon as he starts leaning on guys and winning puck battles just on the strength of his size, it's going to be a different world for this guy. And Mario Point was raving about how far along he's come along in this process. Nobody expected that he'd be this far along from the day he drafted to where he is right now. They really felt that it would be a long-term deal with him. It still is, but he's made great progress. He's made a ton of sacrifice to drop weight and get faster. They want him still to work on that explosiveness off the start, get that first couple of strides faster, but they like the way he skates, they like the way he performs, and they like most of all the way he battles out there. He plays with a lot of heart, and, you know, that is visible to everybody who's watching the game, not just a guy like Marty LaPointe who's developing these guys.
Eric, always great talking with you. What'd you go see?
I'm going to go see the movie Lion.
Okay. What do we know about that?
I don't know much about it. I try not to know too much about movies before I see them. I hope that they're highly rated, and then I hope that they'll pleasantly surprise me when I get in there.
Well, then I hope so, too.
All the best, guys.
Eric Engels, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'll be busy. Canadians with the games over the next couple of days. Kyle will join us later in the week. We see them together now, right? A lot of Eric and Kyle. There's a little bromance brewing there, no?
If I was at the forum and I would have challenged him upstairs to a game of shuffleboard.
Oh, shuffleboard, so
that's
eh?
It's me and Dana's new game. We played at the forum. They have you know where the bowling used to be upstairs?
Yep.
The bowling's gone. I don't know
really?
If they switched the floor. Maybe they moved it upstairs.
How do you move
but
a bowling alley?
But where that is ping pong
upstairs.
And shuffleboard now.
Ping pong.
But shuffleboard, hey,
ping
it's
pong.
A very
you play
nice
ping
table.
Pong?
I dabble. I dabble. I just wanted to use that word.
You say that?
Just wanted
then
to
you'd
use
have
that
to get through the kids first before you...
Well, before I challenge you. You look like a guy who's got the spin that I hit it, but it doesn't go where I want it after.
Goes in the net.
Yeah, see? You're that guy.
Or off the table.
Oh.
On the serve, right? I serve and you knock it off the table. But you wouldn't beat the kids, so you wouldn't get to me.
Well, now I'm going to have to practice. That's all that means.
All right, so we've taken care of the hockey. Hope you enjoyed our hockey half hour with Scott Morrison and Eric Engels, two of the best. Of course, this is Sportsnet Tonight. It's Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. Grant is an expert on college football, and he loved the game last night. But he's a busy guy, so we're going to have him do an update first, and then we're going to talk college football, and then we'll go back and hear what the Canadians have to say about how things went last night, and we'll have your National Hockey League fantasy update. Much busier tonight, no? What do we got?
Definitely busier. There's at least five games, I believe. Is it five? Let me check. There'll be, no, six. There'll be six games. There's
That's
a seventh
it?
Tonight, but it only starts at 10, so we won't be giving any updates on that.
And what's the deal? Your team is like, are you in your five-day...
Dallas Cowboys had a bye week, which is great. The Leafs are somehow on a bye week. 5 days. Yes. What is this?
Every team in the NHL.
I don't like it.
Not
when the Cowboys also had a bye week.
Francis, get Lou Lamorello on the line. Grant wants to talk to him. He's got a notebook here. There's this Austin Matthews thing. Wait. This Lou Lamorello Austin Matthews thing is like multiplication. It's not just one incident here.
This
started
give
with
Austin.
The contract and him. Oh, don't even get me started here with Grant in there. What's Lou's title?
Lou is the general manager, but I think he has something else. The guy, when they acquired him, right? He came over. It was seen as a short-term move, but he's done well since.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan of Lou. I think he pulled the biggest punk move of any general manager in the last 20
years. Going to be the head coach, that move?
Firing Julia when they were a first-place team. He listened to his team, and I'm glad that they got knocked out of the playoffs in a hurry because that was Bush.
I hate when GMs go and coach. Jim Pop.
Well,
I'm just saying, doesn't usually go well.
It worked out well for the Florida Panthers, no?
Oh, it's just, great. Guy's coaching in the AHL. Now he's a GM and head coach in the NHL.
All right. Grant's update in a moment or two, and then we'll talk college football coming up.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
I am not an animal!
Price.
It's like four shots of wild turkey.
Yes.
Next thing you know, it's chaos. And I can tell you this, that as long as I'm running the show.
Price.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
Word has it you've been cracking under the pressure. Can't cope, can't stand the heat. Spit the bit.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Nothing more satisfying than looking down after lunch and seeing just the table.
Excellent.
Elliot.
Ding, ding, ding.
Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Here's Grant Robinson.
Habs with a night off tonight before heading to Winnipeg to face the Jets tomorrow without Patrick Laine. But today, the NHL All-Stars were announced, and Carey Price and Shea Weber will represent the Montreal Canadiens in the game. Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine, both rookies, but were still named to the teams as well. Connor McDavid, Erik Karlsson, Johnny Gaudreau, and Bo Horvat were the other representatives for Canadian teams on the All-Star teams. Maple Leafs claimed Curtis McIlhenny today off of waivers. Only reason I'm mentioning that is because of that and the fact that Sergei Bobrovsky is out.
I mentioned that because you're a Leaf fan.
I don't. Backup goalies.
Leaf fan.
Nobody cares. Carey Price. Leaf look, fan. Who starts? Al Montoya?
Leaf fan.
Doesn't matter.
Leaf fan.
I'm proud to hear that now, though.
Leaf fan.
So Anton Forsberg gets his first start of the season, and it hasn't gone so well. They trail 4-3 to the Hurricanes right now, the Blue Jackets. 4 goals allowed on 20 shots. Maybe you should have kept the backup after having only one bad game. Philadelphia, Buffalo, the Sabres lead 3-0. Boston, St. Louis, David Back is returning to St. Louis. No points for him, but his Bruins lead 4-1 on the road. Nashville's up 1-0 against Vancouver. Chicago leads Detroit 2-0. And San Jose up early against Edmonton 1-0. NBA, the Raptors, I told you, are on a 2-game losing streak. Lost 3 of 4 and didn't look good last update. They were trailing 75-59 in the third quarter, but closed the quarter on a 21-9 run to cut it down to 4. Currently 91-87. DeMar DeRozan with 29 points. So Raptors down 4. Definitely in this game. We'll keep you posted as the show goes on. And finally, in 2026, the FIFA World Cup will expand to 48 teams. They've added 16 teams, so Canada may actually have a chance to make it.
Did you mention Jeannie Bouchard?
I did not
mention
Jeannie.
She beat Sebulkova today, the 5th seed in that tournament, so that was huge.
Jeannie Bouchard, she's back or is she
in Australia?
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking she's playing very well.
All right, I'll take that. That counts. Jeannie is back. I'd like that because Milos is carrying it now. You know, we got to have Jeannie back. She started it. It crashed a little bit after that. But hopefully next time I do an update, she wins another round as well.
Okay.
There you go.
Elliot.
Elliot Price. Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price
and Greg Robinson.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
This is what you dream about. There is no next game. This is it.
You're only good as your last game, and that's how you're going to get remembered.
Last year, we were just very, very excited just to get there. This year, everyone's just locked in.
The legacy to win back-to-back would just mean so much.
Bama's not only shutting Clemson out, they've rattled the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Scarborough is dangerous right now with a healthy knee.
Comes near side, nice blocking, gets to the edge, 20, he's to the 15, cuts back 10, forward 5, he's in the end zone, touchdown, Alabama!
Scarborough breaks free, Bo Scarborough in the clear and in the end zone again.
Bo Scarborough seated at the 25-yard line.
Scarborough makes his way to the locker room.
Big loss to this Alabama offense. The best quarterback in college football, best decision maker.
Takes the shotgun snap from the goal left side. Watson is going to keep it. Gets to the 5, turns it upfield, into the end zone. Touchdown, Deshaun Watson. Watson going across the middle, has a complete run throw. Inside the 20, inside the 10, and the 5. Touchdown! Clemson climbs to within 3.
A year ago, he was the scout team quarterback simulating Deshaun Watson.
The luck and the throw. Howard, loose, near side. Welcome back to last year. We have seen this script again. 68 yards.
Watson takes a shotgun snap from the throw. The fade, looking for Mike Williams in the end zone. Got him. Touchdown!
Watson loops it for Williams, who goes up and makes a huge grab.
He'll give it away. Coleman drives in the end zone. Touchdown!
Alabama has not trailed in the fourth quarter all season long.
Jalen Hurts steps up. He's going to run 5. He is in. Touchdown!
Watson's got time. 20 of it. Williams down the sideline makes another big catch. Watson delivers. Catch made down inside the 10 by Leggett.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Clemson is declared kings of college football and national champs.
This will go down as one of the greatest of all time. There's no doubt about it.
It's a hard-fought game out there today. Very disappointing to lose.
It just doesn't even seem real to me. It's a movie. It's going to end the right way. We're national champs. It's amazing.
Our thanks to ESPN for putting that together specifically for this program. Okay, maybe not. As a football game, taken in any context whatsoever, how does this one measure up to Grey Cups, Super Bowls, other NCAA championships, playoff games?
To me, this was just college football-wise. I think I've always said USC-Texas was one of the best games I've ever seen. Not just college football, anything, because it had everything. It had the stars. It had that. I think this game, and again, you can argue it, and people will see it differently, but for me, watching it, and I only got home for the second half, right? I rewatched the first half. I PVR'd it, but the second half, that game was just, you felt it. First of all, Alabama is Goliath, right? And Clemson is not that national powerhouse. Now, they've been there 2 years in a row. They're a very good team, but this game had everything you can ask for. Biggest dynasty in college football history going down. You had that. They led, so you had the comeback. You had, what, 4 lead changes in the last 4 minutes? Alabama was down. Their freshman quarterback comes up with an incredible touchdown run, and then they come back 1 second left. I just think it was so different. Then you get the onside kick. That, you know, the surprise onside kick changes that too. I think it had everything, and it was a rematch. These same two teams had rivalry. They played. Deshaun Watson played against them. I thought it had everything you can ask for. And if you didn't enjoy, you didn't even have to like football to enjoy that game.
All right, who are we most likely to see in the pros and starring in the National Football League?
Jonathan Allen, who, again, maybe not the loudest game from him yesterday. He did hit Deshaun Watson at one point. You could see in the last minute, he's the guy who hit Deshaun Watson after avoiding that sack. He's going to be a top 5 pick, or has been projected to be on the D-line, but that's normal for Alabama. Reuben Foster, the linebacker, is a stud. Alabama's always going to have their guys. You know, Bo Scarborough, if he goes to the draft, I talked about him yesterday, he's a stud, he'll go. You have the receivers, but Clemson, Deshaun Watson was supposed to go top 10. There's 3 quarterbacks that people thought would go in the top 10 or top 5. I think the way he played yesterday, you got to be thinking about him as the top quarterback. Now, it was Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina. you know, I see what Deshaun Watson did. I see what he did against Alabama. 900 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2 games. Sign me up. I'm looking at him. And Mike Williams, the receiver, did you see the 2 catches he made on those last 2?
Yeah.
Without those catches, you're not even, we're not talking about this today. We're talking about how Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time.
I think he's the guy that impressed me the most of anybody in yesterday's game.
He was always the number one ranked. I like his size. I like it. That was where, to me, I don't like drafting receivers very high, you know, unless you're kind of that game-breaking guy like a Calvin Johnson. You knew what he would be. Randy Moss, this guy, though, the catches he made, the way he adjusts in the air with his size, that's unfair. And that's what the NFL is going to, right? It's a passing league. I think you're going to see him get called very early as well.
How do these two programs look for 2017?
Guess who's the favorite again next year? Alabama is the favorite. Right. They should be. But again, Clemson, this, I'm not saying it's a changing of the guard. Alabama will still be Alabama, but Clemson, this is how many years now where they have, we talked about Mike Williams. Do you remember Sammy Watkins? You know, DeAndre Hopkins was the second receiver there. They've got Martavis Bryant, who was suspended this year, but they're churning out receivers very quickly. I don't think people have noticed just yet, but they got a first-round receiver every year. They're going to continue to have this. They had the running backs. They have that explosive offense. And Dabo Swinney, did you see him at the end of the game? How do you not want to play for this guy as a recruit, right? They're going to continue to get them. Replacing Deshaun Watson won't be easy, but they've done it before. Taj Boyd was that guy, right? Not the same level, but
it's a very different landscape than it used to be.
Yeah,
there's such a wide range of possibilities for guys that are coming into college football. It used to be you were assured. If you were Alabama, you were assured. If you were USC, you were assured of having an excellent recruiting class, but that's not necessarily so anymore.
No, and it's tough, right? Like, look, Notre Dame, you know, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. They had a really bad season this year. A lot of recruits already decide to go to your team. They see you do poorly. They could change their mind. Clemson's going to get a lot of guys who want to go to this team now who see what Clemson did. And you don't think a quarterback wants to be the next Deshaun Watson now? You know, wants to have that talent around him and sees Alabama as beatable? I think it's definitely a good thing for college football. I think that's the best Alabama team or defense that they've had. Actually, full-out team, because they never have a quarterback, right? This is the best quarterback they've had. I know he's young, but this is the best Alabama team I've seen. They've won 4 in the last 7 years, and they were beaten.
Yep, beaten by 1 second. 1 second left on the clock, and Clemson wins the national championship. All right, we're done that college. We're done that football. Not much left in the National Football League. Of course, Daniel Kalis will rejoin us on Thursday night as we get ready for the divisional round of the National Football League playoffs and 4 good games in the offing. None of the wild card weekend is in front of us now. One good game after another, at least on paper. And, of course, Daniel will join us on Thursday night just after 9 o'clock. Back to the Montreal Canadiens. We'll head into the dressing room, see what they had to say after last night's game. This is Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. This is CFMB 1280 AM Montreal.
Radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
As Backstrom's there to the line for Ovechkin, he'll hold, wait, shoots, kicked up by Price, rebound, they score! Nicholas Backstrom banks it home, and the Capitals are on the board first. Pacioretty to the front of the net for Rakitin, tipped on goal, and Braden Holtby up with a stop. Petrie on the puck with a long feed ahead for Arturi Lehkonen. Lehkonen checks up, hands it off, Byron to the net, center, great save made by Holtby, off of the Canucks. Pacioretty to find a great save made by Holtby. Down for Paul Byron. He'll circle with it. Byron trying to get it to net. Lehkonen's put it off the post. Rebound in front. A scramble. It's free. Lehkonen scores! And after a couple of goalposts, the Canadiens finally get one in, and they tied it at 1. Ovechkin looks forward at center. Tipped it by Pacioretty. Kuznetsov follows up on it. What a move! Scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov with an incredible play, and he puts the Capitals back out front.
Kuznetsov tips it in the Canadiens' head. Price will head it off for Petrie, but Kuznetsov breaks it up. Throwing in front, scores! Brett Connolly on the turnover, snaps it home. And the Capitals make it a 3-1 game. Ovechkin scores! Alexander Ovechkin ties Maurice Rocket Richard with his 544th career goal. And he does it in Montreal.
John Bartlett, play-by-play, Sportsnet, indeed, 544th last night in Montreal. Where else to tie the Rocket? And much lively conversation on the subject of the Rocket and Alex Ovechkin. And if you missed any of that, it will be available on podcast sometime in the middle of the night. So tomorrow morning, perhaps, Scott Morrison from Sportsnet and, of course, Eric Engels. And we'll talk to Andrew Berkshire at the end of the week. I think when do the Canadians play? Wednesday, Thursday. So Andrew will join us on Thursday night. And Kyle Bukauskas, we hope, will join us on Friday. And, of course, Wednesdays is Arpin Basu. So Arpin will be here tomorrow night to talk Habs. But Andrew tweeted out yesterday that Alex Ovechkin, much better than the Rocket. So saying that partly to raise some dander. And partly because that's what he believes, because that's what the numbers tell him, as if you could compare 1945 and 2017. But that's what they do.
I heard the analytics on Rocket weren't too good. You know, that's why they were
very
poor.
Yeah, he only had 50, and the best guy in the league had 32. I don't know what league you're playing in, but to me, that's pretty, pretty good. All right, Canadians go down 4-1 last night. Here's the reaction from the dressing room.
I don't know why, but lots of time, the first game, you're coming back after a long road trip. It's a demanding game. Like I said, you know, the Capital, first of all, they play a really solid game. And on our side, we were not sharp. Pretty simple.
You did have one line that had pretty good chemistry tonight. Plekanec's, Plekanec's
firing. That was our best line. The Plekanec line, that was our best line. I thought they skate well. They make some good plays. They attack the net. So that's a positive for tonight.
I think everyone's played a lot of hockey. It was strange coming back home. You know, the fans deserve better after a long road trip. They haven't seen us in a while. And, you know, we wish we could put on a better show at home. But we definitely didn't have it tonight. And we just got to, you know, be ready for the next game. I don't know. We didn't execute. We didn't. We obviously didn't play anywhere near our best. So, you know, time to get down to, you know, the hard work and practice and get ready for Winnipeg. 60-minute game. I mean, it was a one-goal game for a while, and then we tied it up, and we got to find a way to be better there at the end.
No, I don't think they played differently. I think I think we fed their forecheck early on in the game, and turned pucks over, and had them kind of dictate the pace. And for us, we're a team that, you know, when we start out and we dictate the pace, we're a tough team to play against.
That move from Kuznetsov,
is that
just one you just got to tip your
cap to? Well, I mean, it's. I know, he has the ability to make moves like that, but, you know, I put myself in a bad position, with no speed and had my my feet facing the wrong direction. And, you know, I think, you know, guys with that skill can see that, and he obviously, made the move.
I think just anytime you get home after a long trip, you see your family, you just kind of want to relax and settle in at home, and then you have a game right away, and you know, you're just not ready to play. We had a day off yesterday, and it takes a little bit to get back into it, get the energy going, and I thought we had a slow start tonight, really, really fed their game, gave them a lot of confidence, and they made it difficult for us tonight.
You had good chemistry on your line, though. I mean, if you're going to look for a positive tonight, the three of you seem to click well tonight.
Yeah, those two guys are so easy to play with, two really smart players, always do the right things, they're working hard, and I just try and use my skill set to complement them, and I thought our line worked pretty well together, and just got to continue to get better.
It gave us a little spark, but unfortunately they scored us soon after that, and they probably deserved the win tonight. Yeah, I love to play with those guys. With Lecky, I played a lot this year, and he's a great player. I love to play with him a lot. Paulie, same thing, he's having a hell of a season, and guys played a great game tonight. I don't know. I thought we didn't have a lax tonight. We didn't skate it really well, and we turn the puck over probably too many times in neutral zone and feed their game a little bit. They're dangerous. They have a lot of skill. Good offensive team, and we gave them way too many opportunities like that.
He's Plex Mechanic, the turtleneck wearing check. He's Plex Mechanic. He's so Plexanic to me. He's Plex Mechanic. He bobs his head all around, 'cause he's Plex Mechanic.
Daniel Yorio and his Plex Mechanic.
I like that one.
I'm a fan as well. It's a good one.
Fan of the Raptors, 108-104 now. DeMar DeRozan, he may not be the most valuable player, but he's going to get some votes. I don't know. Did they just vote one guy? What do they do in the NBA?
For what you... No, there's definitely... Because there's second place votes, so... He's up there. There's no question. Yeah. He's done it.
What'd you say? 39. He's got 39
points, 12 rebounds.
Wow. They were down the entire game.
And all of those points almost. He had 12 at one point, and then in the second half he went off.
Fourth quarter. I mean, just about everything that's happening here in the fourth quarter. Lowry hit a huge three, and he's got 24. So they have 63 between them, and they are 22 for 39. And DeRozan has added 12 rebounds. So another big night from the Toronto backcourt. And it's not over yet. 1.5 left. 108-104 Toronto over Boston. And Boston with the ball after Lowry's latest step-back jumper puts Toronto up by 4. This is as big a lead as they've had since we turned the game on.
Jonas tonight, by the way. I give him a hard time sometimes. I like the guy. I think he could show a little more effort sometimes. 16 points, 21 rebounds tonight. So
you know what?
Been a force.
I'm not sure who I heard talking about JV and what his game is now. Basketball changes once the playoffs start.
No question.
It becomes a smaller game. It becomes a tighter game. It becomes a more inside game. And he will mean more once the playoffs come around. And that's when they're really going to need him. Because you know what? They're going to finish where they're going to finish. They're going to finish behind Cleveland. Right? The season's going to go along. Nobody gets hurt. That's something else I heard today. The win, what team? Columbus? Is it Columbus? They have 10 total Columbus Blue Jackets. 10 total man games missed from injury.
That makes sense because I follow. I haven't seen any real big injuries for Columbus. That's for sure.
Galchenyuk has missed more than the entire. Yeah. All right. Time for the National Hockey League fantasy update every night. Get you up to date on what's going on in the NHL and how are your guys doing? Well, we'll tell you right now. What do you got?
Starting. Let's start with the final here. Buffalo 4, Philadelphia 1. Sam Reinhart started off the year very slowly. Jack Eichel came back, seems to have woken him up. He had a goal and two assists tonight to lead the Sabres in scoring there.
Run the music under us if it's still there.
Foligno, Kane, Carrier with the other goals. Ryan O'Reilly, two assists. Bogosian, McCabe, who's become famous overnight after the hit on Patrick Laine, contributing in a better way tonight with an assist. Ristolainen added one as well. Oh. Anders Nielsen, 39 saves, so it's not Philadelphia. If you watch them, every game they've got over 35 shots almost. Every game they outshoot, but they lost today, so it doesn't really matter. The only goal for Philadelphia, Braden Schenn from Provorov and Giroux.
It's now 2-2, Detroit and Chicago. Blackhawks with two first-period goals. Brian Campbell from Hossa and Taves. Richard Ponick from Hartman and Keith. But the Red Wings have scored twice, and they scored moments ago to tie the game. Athanasiu from Vanek, that made it 2-1, and then Tatar from Larkin, 2-2. Chicago and Detroit. Mrazek in goal for the Red Wings, and Corey Crawford in goal for Chicago. 2-2 Detroit and Chicago.
Boston 4, St. Louis 1. Torrey Krug with a big night, a goal and an assist there. Frank Vetrano pitching in the same thing, a goal and an assist. Brad Marchand and Brandon Carlo with the other goals there. David Pastrnak, 2 assists. His chance at the Cy Young is fading. Oh. He was already at 19-9, which is borderline, right? Now he's at 19-11. Just not enough, I'm sorry. He should have been going for more goals. David Backes, no points here. But he definitely did something surprising. Comes back to his old team. You think, you know, it's all friends. He's been the captain there for so many years. Not only does he get into a fight with Joel Edmondson, he also got 2 minutes for instigating and a 10-minute misconduct. So he's reacquainting himself with his friends there. Colton Parayko, the only goal for St. Louis from David Perron and Jaden Schwartz. And Jake Allen, if you had him tonight, not good. Pulled after 3 goals on 11 shots.
All right. One of my favorite names in the NHL. Who would that be? First of all, is the luster.
It's not Zingle.
Off of, well, that's one. That's one. But there's another one that I give more gusto to. He's got a 4-point night. Victor Rask has a goal and 2 assists. Oh, he's a +4. He has a 3-point night. Sorry if I got you excited.
Your math is horrible. 1 + 2.
I saw a 4 here. It says 1, 2, 3, 4. Goal, 2 assists, 3 points, a +4.
There you go. There's
all right,
the 4.
So if you're in a plus-minus kind of thing there, very nice. He's got 3 points. So does Jeff Skinner with a goal and 2 assists. Tennyson, an assist. Ryan has a goal and an assist. A goal for Brock McKinn. Lindholm, Hannafin, Falk, careful how you say that name, with assists, 27 saves for Cam Ward. I'm thinking goalie Bob, not in goal tonight for Columbus. Anton Forsberg, nice. 4 goals, 23 saves. John Anderson, Cam Atkinson, Brandon Saad, which makes me sad, scoring for Columbus tonight. Jenner, Johnson, Wenberg, with the Columbus assists.
You mentioned being careful about saying Falk. That's still my favorite.
What'd you say?
My favorite headline of all time when the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, lost. And they said, what the Marshall is going on, was the headline. It was a great one. Only other game to tell you about, San Jose Edmonton. 2-1 San Jose at the end of one. Bodker from Carlson and Brent Burns. Edmonton answered from Kegula, from Pouliot and Zach Cashin. And then Brent Burns scored his 16th of the year. 41 points for the defenseman already.
16 goals.
From Vlasic and Pavelski, they lead 2-1 after one. Jones and Talbot, the goalies in that game.
All right, what do we have here? Nashville 1, Vancouver nothing. Ooh, two hot teams that weren't hot. Only goal of the game, Austin Watson. Have you ever driven an Austin Watson? I'm losing it.
I've got a better Austin.
Mike Fisher and Roman Josi with the assists. Ryan Miller, 17 saves so far in goal for Vancouver. And Pekka Rinne, also, careful how you say, 15 saves for the Predators.
Star of the night, though, unquestionably. I'm going to do some self-promotion here. No, I'm going with Lynn. I give my mom a little birthday, happy birthday. She came in the studio. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's already a good birthday. You got me as a son. It's obviously... Elliot's not so convinced.
I'm saying anything. That wasn't for... nobody knew. Did you have a good time? She had a wonderful...
Ooh, wonderful. See the vocabulary on her?
Yes, I can see she's passed it down. Why don't you use some of your own words? All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Eric Engels. Thanks to Big Man, Dwight Walton, and Scott Morrison. Coming up tomorrow night, what do we usually have on Wednesdays? Well, the professor's here, Avi Goldberg, sports sociology. I know what he's talking about, but I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to join us tomorrow. Also, of course, we talked to John Shannon from Sportsnet and Arpit Basu, managing editor. I think he's the senior managing editor. I think I have shortchanged him from elanash.com. And that's it. Anything else, Grant?
No, nothing. No college football. I'm in a little bit of a depression, but then I remember the Dallas Cowboys are in the second round.
Where can people find our podcast?
Sportsnet.ca.
Good night.